I looked up the definition of commitment because, of course, I had some idea of what it means, but I wanted to see what the dictionary always says so that I can call myself being pretty much on point as to what it really means. Sometimes we think we know something. Sometimes we think we know what something means or what it says, and when we read it, the definition, when we read up on it, we find out that we're close to it, or we might be right on it, but it's still something else that we can pick up from it. So what I found out about a commitment is it's a promise and agreement to do something. And it's also a state or a quality of being dedicated to a cause, an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom or action, freedom of action. And most of us know about a commitment as far as being married, and we have commitment to friends, people that we consider our friends. Back in the days when I was younger, we used to call our buddies our stick men. You know, this is my stick man. I don't know who termed it or where they got it from, but as I got older, I realized, or I come to believe, that it meant they stuck with you as long as things were good, but when things got rough, they were gone. So, but you got some that's pretty good and faithful friends that will be with you, which are true friends, that will be with you through thick and thin. And it took me a long time to realize the meaning of a saying, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Because I was always thinking that if I'm in need of something, what good is a friend to me, you know? But I didn't quite get the understanding of it, which meant that if you have a friend and they are still your friend when you are in need, then that is truly a good friend. Because like I said about the stick men, most of them be gone when times get rough. Well, during this lesson, I also realized that we have two kinds of commitment that we can look at. One is called superficial, which is basically on the surface, like much like what I'm talking about with the stick men. They're only there for a short time. But we have deep commitment, which is what we hope to have for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the kind that will make us have commitment through thick and thin, and we'll be with God and for God no matter what. We'll stand up for his cause and work to deliver his message. Now, oftentimes, the commitment is associated with the intentions of accomplishing something, and it's focused on a desire, or an outcome. A typical example of that we can see in John chapter 13 and verse 37. Let's turn over to that and take a look at it. In John chapter 13, verse 37. And it reads, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for your sake. Peter made a commitment in that statement, saying that he would do anything. Laying down your life is pretty much saying I'd do anything. You know, you can't do much more than that once you give up your life. He had good intentions, and he meant to accomplish the goal of saying that I will stick with the Lord for all time. But as we know the story, Peter denied him three times. Now, sometimes we have intentions of making our commitment good and strong and meaningful, but we can't tell the future. We don't know what's going to happen. We think we can withstand the storm and anything else, but we don't know until we are tested. And as we get tested, that lets us know exactly how strong our commitment is. Now, the fact that we are human, we know that we are not perfect. So we're going to falter sometimes. And because you falter in your commitment, doesn't mean that you don't have commitment and that you're not, you don't have good intentions, or you're not keeping your word as you intended to do. Because of the fact that we know that the devil is going to throw everything he can at us, and the one advantage that he has of throwing stuff against us, obstacles, stumbling blocks, is the fact that he knows our weakness. He knows what it takes to throw us off course. But what we have to have is faithfulness to try to withstand what he throws at us, and when we fall short, to repent of our failure and ask God to lift us back up, give us more strength so that we can continue on in his name. Now also we have working in our favor the fact that we are not alone, because we have God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ working with us, but we also have each other to strengthen us, to strengthen our commitment. And as we look around this morning, we can see our pews are a little less than what they would usually be on a typically a good day, as we would say. Different things is a factor, but not just where we are now, it's the way in which we live. As Brother Russ has been teaching us about our past lessons about the church, and we are the church, and how we carry ourselves, our commitment, we have to remind ourselves daily so that we can exhibit what we say we're going to do. And again, it's not going to be easy, because we have obstacles of the devil, and we also have obstacles of the world in which we live in. We got people that's going to disagree with the things that we say and do just for the sake of disagreement. I mean, that seems to be their nature. You know, some people are never satisfied with nothing. You know, you can have a nice, warm, shiny day, and you can say, good morning, isn't it a nice day? What's so good about it? Because they're having a bad day, or because they're upset with something. But then they're going to bring your spirit down or weaken your commitment, because that's the way they feel. And it's trying. It's trying on us when we're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to uplift other people's spirits. We're trying to be a good example. And all we meet is opposition. That's what the devil keeps throwing at us. This is what the world throws at us. This is what's going to shake our commitment. We have things we have to remember in order to keep our commitment strong. But before we get into some of the things we have to remember, I want to talk again about Peter and his commitment as an example to us. Because of the fact that he committed, I mean, he fell short of his commitment. And after realizing what he had did, The Bible tells us that he went out and he wept bitterly. That's also found in that's found in Luke chapter 22 and verse 62. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. He came to realize what he had did and remember what the Lord had told him, that he would deny him. And when we come to realize that we have fallen short, it doesn't mean that we should give up, you know, that a typical example, as I said about our pews lacking this morning, you miss one or two Sundays from coming to church, that is not reason to say, well, I haven't been there in a couple of Sundays, nobody called me, they didn't miss me, so I ain't going back there no more. That's what the devil wants us to believe and think. Or you see someone in need and you say, well, I can't do nothing to help them, so I'm not even going to try. It may not be something that you can help them with at this particular time, but if you see the person again, it may be something that you can do. But you just don't give up and turn your back on them completely. Or we say, I've asked them 1,000 times to come to church with me. And every time they say no, the 1,001 might be the time that they come. You know? Well, we can't just give up because we've made a commitment to follow Christ, to spread his word, to do what we can for his name's sake. And if we give up, then that allows the devil to win. And this is, I mean, just some things that I want to bring to our remembrance. Because of the fact that we're not perfect, and sometimes being put through the test, our commitment wavers. And I just want to remind us the fact that because it wavers doesn't mean that we don't have a good commitment and we're not strong enough to continue on. We have to repent, pray to God for more strength, and continue doing his will. Now, as I stated before, some things to remember that we need to have in our commitment that would strengthen us. One of the things we need to remember is our purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God. And to glorify means to bring honor to someone. Now, in everything that we do is supposed to show that we're glorifying God. We're not here to glorify man. It's great when people pat you on the back and tell you, oh, you did a good job, give you applause, lift you up a little bit. That's wonderful. But is God pleased with what you do? Is he satisfied? The purpose of what we're supposed to do is to seek souls, rescue them, so they can be reconciled back to God as we have been by giving our life over to God. And if we're not committed to doing it, if we're not living in that manner, if we're not showing ourselves to the world in that way, and yes, we are falling short. That doesn't mean that you have to go out every day and stand on a corner or on a soapbox or go around telling everybody, yes, I'm a Christian and I believe in God and you need to change your life. I've seen a lady, you might have seen her before, but in different places. At the time I saw her, she was in Walmart. And she was walking around and saying, God is good. You need to repent. You need to praise God. I mean, she was just walking around just saying that to people. And we tend to look at people like that and say, she's crazy. You know, because why would you do that? But we know why we're supposed to do that, because we're uplifting the Lord. But that was her way. What way are we doing it? We don't have to go around and just walk up to people and say, I'm praying for you today. You need to turn your life around. Remember, God is good. But what other ways do we present ourselves or show ourselves to the world so that they would know that we stand for God and they can come to us to learn what they need to do to reconcile themselves back to God? The sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. And I admit that is a little extreme in our culture and day and time. And I dare say that some of us have the courage to even do that for fear of being ridiculed. But there are other ways that we can do that, of spreading the word. And that's just an example that came to mind of that particular person. But as I said, this is what we're supposed to do, because this is what Jesus did and gave his life, paying the ultimate cost so that we all could be reconciled with God. And when we think about it, how much are we willing to pay to help someone else? And you can say, well, yeah, I've tried. I've talked to people, and especially my friends and my neighbors, and every time I get to talking to people, they cuss me out. They slam doors in my face. They don't want to be around me. Okay. That was a tactic that you used. It didn't work. What about the way you carry yourself to the fact that when you be in a crowd of people, they know there's something different about you? That when they go to use bad language and they see you and they might cut it off, or they might start telling a dirty joke, or they say, oh, excuse me. Or when they come to you and say, I know you go to church. Can you pray for my sister or my dad or my brother? Or when they come to you and say, well, I don't go to church, but I want to give this to your cause. Do you have an impact that way on people? Just a little thought to think about. Another thing that we need to have in our commitment, that will strengthen our commitment, is willingness to forgive. Let's look over in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Now, this passage, it talks about the parable of the unforgiving servant. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. And it reads, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay his master, not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not. He went and threw him into prison till he could pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told his master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he could pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forsake his brother his trespass. Forgive his brother his trespass. I'm sorry. My reading is not good this morning. But the essence of this is, if we don't forgive, then we can't expect to be forgiven. Now, that sounds easy. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Until the time comes. Do we think about it? Do we give ourselves time enough to think about it? Or do we act without thinking? And then we rely on that saying, oh, I forgot. Oh, the devil made me do it. Oh, I wasn't thinking. We, as Christians that are supposed to set the example, are supposed to take the time to think, to have compassion, to remember. And as I said, no, we're not perfect, and we're not going to always get it right. But when we mess up, we're supposed to fess up, ask for forgiveness, and there's nothing wrong with going back and apologizing and doing what is right. Something that we definitely don't see happening today in today's society and in today's world. We don't see people fessing up and going back trying to make it right. That is one good example that we can use to show that we are different. Yes?
That forgiveness is one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing he asks us to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, depending on what sin somebody committed against us. And that is, and we've been there.
Oh, yeah.
That is, are you committed? You know, I can't forgive that. That person hurt me too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at that commitment. And Jesus is, are you committed to me or not? And that's like when the rubber meets the road. Right?
Yes, it's definitely.
That's a true test of your commitment when someone has hurt you grievously.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy to do. But do you love Christ enough to listen to him?
Yeah.
Because if we've done it, we know that once we forgive, and it's a process, but when you get through it, there's nothing like it to truly forgive somebody.
That's true.
And for him to give you the power to do it. Because we can't do it on our own. Because we don't want to do it. We rely on his spirit to get us through that. But once we get to the other side and we please him and we have forgiven somebody, it's a great feeling to overcome that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the way we're supposed to feel. I think oftentimes we look to God to do for us some things that we can do for ourselves, you know, and not at that particular moment, but it's like because we know that God is going to forgive us, we forget about that part that we have to forgive. So we look to it as, okay, well, God gonna forgive me, but he hurt me so bad. God don't know about how bad that made me feel. God knows everything, you know. So it's nothing that can be done to us. Like you said, we feel bad, but it's nothing that's so bad that we can't forgive somebody else, because Christ forgave us enough to die for us, you know, and the fact that we still sin, you know, not intentionally a lot of times, but we still do because we're human. But that love he had for us, but that was a good point. You had a point, Chuck?
We know just from the parable that we've read about the servant,
mm-hmm.
and his master said, you will be sold. Okay, that's one thing. But let's not forget that he also stated, your wife, your children,
mm-hmm.
and everything that you own will be sold.
Mm-hmm.
And then that probably got his attention. Again, it's one thing for just us, the individual, but when we understand that our shortcomings, it affects everybody.
Yeah.
More people than you realize. And so in that circumstance, when I see my mind, when he did see the other servant that owed him, he realized how close he came to losing it all.
Mm-hmm.
If it was not for the compassion of the master.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, unfortunately, sometimes we get our priorities mixed up, and of course he did the wrong thing, but he wants to make the payment back. Like, I guess, not real, but that's, he wanted to make the payment back.
Right.
And so, how does that affect us today? Because in the not too distant future in this country, that did happen.
Mm-hmm.
Where families were sold. And they didn't keep them as a group. They were sold off,
mm-hmm.
one at a time. And so, but of course, we weren't there to see that happen. So to us, we don't make that connection. And that's our challenge. But we do have history of that. And so what I'm trying to do is make that leap. Because we weren't at Christ's funeral, I mean, it's a
crucifixion. Mm-hmm.
We weren't at his flogging. We weren't at his nailing. We weren't at his raising. We weren't at his recovery. We weren't at his ascension. We're too far removed from that. And so somehow that doesn't make it real.
Anyway.
And so for us, again, as part of our faith and our commitment to Christ, to understand that it was real,
mm-hmm.
that it is real, that all the floggings that he took, the suffering that he went through, was for each individual, for the whole family.
Yeah.
So again, once it's real, then I think it's easier for us to make that commitment, because it's not so far removed from our history.
Mm-hmm.
And so how we know that, unfortunately, as mankind is, if we don't do the right thing, history will repeat itself.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so a lot of us don't remember World War II. We weren't there, were we?
No.
But for me, back in 1977, when we were deployed to Germany for a field exercise, the training had ended. We assembled in a farmer's field. We made the customary circle. All the vehicles were in a circle. I was in the command post track. Command post track is in the middle of this big circle. And again, we're in a wide open field in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then off in far distance is a little old German farm town. That morning, early in the morning, I hear a knock on the track. And I couldn't believe what I'm hearing. So I opened up the hatch, and there she was with a basket with bread, butter, jam, and she's holding coffee.
Mm-hmm. Thankful.
She went, before she got the bus, she went to every vehicle out there and served them breakfast. And that's what she was doing to us, because she remembered as a girl how the Army came in and saved her village.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's an example I'm trying to make a connection with our Lord Savior. It was real. She knew. We asked our Lord to give us that sense, that feeling, that commitment to understand, yes, our Lord is real.
Mm-hmm.
He suffered a great deal to give us the blessings that we enjoy now.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. As you brought out, it's sad that we don't feel compassion until it touches us. But we should feel it by just hearing about it, you know. And as you were talking, another thing came across my mind. I'm so thankful for the fact that God is patient now, more so than he was in biblical times, in punishment to when people did something. One person did something, as you stated, it affected the whole family. The whole family could have been wiped out because of what one person did, because they may not have been thinking, oh, I wasn't thinking, oh, I didn't mean to. It's too late. Your whole family getting killed because you did something foolish. I'm so thankful now that God is more patient with us each day, and I'm glad that we don't have to experience that. But yes, that's a good point that, you know, we don't feel compassion until it touches our family or it touches close to home. And then we can feel it. Whereas you should feel something by just knowing about it, something that happened. And it's something that you might could do. One more point I want to bring up before our time is up is, in our commitment, we need to have unshakable faithfulness. Now, unshakable faithfulness. Faithfulness. Because Peter, and I'll use him again as in this example, because he messed up, he didn't just say, I messed up, I can't be reconciled, I can't do nothing about it now, they killed Jesus, I'm just going to forget about everything. When Jesus came back to the 12, to the disciples again after his resurrection, and he met up with Peter, I can't even begin to imagine how he felt, Peter did, knowing that he had betrayed Jesus after he had boasted that he would lay down his life for him, which at that time he meant it. But then afterward, what he did when the going got rough, as you said, when the rubber met the road, and he was thinking about his own life. But the fact that when he saw Jesus again, he still believed in it. He still had faith, although he knew he did wrong. When Jesus asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, I do. You know that I do." And of course, Christ reinstated him. He still had faith. If he had gave up his faith and went the other way and just said, "I'm going to forget all about this life. I don't want to be a Christian no more. The cost is too high. I might lose my life. I'm going to just go along and be a fisherman and deal with whatever comes and keep my head down." Sort of like what the world tells us to do today a whole lot. You just go with the flow. Don't make no trouble. Don't stand up and be seen or heard, or, you know, don't let your commitment get you in a situation where you got to back it up to prove how seriously you are. It may come to the point where somebody put a gun to your head and ask you, "Do you believe in Christ?" Are you going to say yes to save your life? I mean, are you going to say no to save your life? Or yes, kill me, I still believe in Christ. We have to have unshakable faithfulness, because what other way are we going to prove ourselves? No matter what we go through, you're going to go through it, and it's going to be an outcome. And the outcome that we are looking for is not to walk here on earth to be rich, to have everything we want, fine house, fine car, money in the bank, nice clothes. That's comfortable, but that's not the outcome we're looking for. The outcome we're looking for is to spend eternity in heaven with Christ. And if we're not looking for that, then we don't have the right commitment. So because we fall doesn't mean that's the end. We look at a little baby that's learning to walk. They're holding on to the table, make a few steps. Sometimes they don't know whether to turn loose or to keep holding on. And you standing there with your arms outstretched, telling them to come to you. And they want to come to you, but they don't want to turn loose from the table or chair or whatever they're holding on to. But then they make a few steps and they fall. They still have the faith to get back up and continue to try to come to you, especially as long as you're still standing there calling them. Or if it's something else that they see that they want, they have their determination to keep on striving to get it. We are going to fall. We are going to fail from time to time. This is the devil's plan to throw us off course. What we have to have is the unshakable faithfulness to continue to get back up and to continue on to try to do God's will, so that when we get to the end, our reward will be there waiting for us. We started out on the journey of making our election sure, saying that we were going to continue on to the end, regardless of what. And everything that comes along is not supposed to throw us off from that course. So this is my lesson this morning. Hopefully it will help you to remember your commitment. It will help you to draw to mind when we go through obstacles, when we have a hard time, what it's all worth, what is the purpose. The cost is never too great because the reward is so much better. That's my lesson. I appreciate your participation.